This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Bitter.
And joining us for the opposition view, must be go number four now, I reckon, is Ant from To Hull and Back podcast. How are you doing? All right?
I'm doing perfectly fine, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah. I'm all very good. We're all very good. Well, I'm speaking for myself. Carlos, how are you? You okay, Carlos?
I'm all right. I've been a bit up and down recently, but yeah. I'm here. I'm back. I'm back, everyone. Yeah. Which is nice.
You're back. It's nice to have you back, Victor. You all right?
I'm reasonably good. Obviously, we do have to turn to Ant and ask that sensitive question about, obviously, the reverse fixture. And obviously, that Wesley Hoot tap-in from about 48 yards away. Yeah. I know. Let's find out, obviously, what the gutting reaction was to that, because I'm sure you had it. We had it on Saturday when Southampton scored a winning goal, despite handball, no free kick, referee playing into the 185th minute. I may be exaggerating a tad, but not much. And a clear handball. What can we do? Come on. Take us back to that day at the MKM. How well did that go down? Like a cup of cold sick, I suspect.
Well, yeah, no, it was just a typical performance from us this season, where I feel like we go into games, especially at home this season, where we tend to have the majority of the possession, create a lot of chances, just be really, really wasteful, and then give away horrifically sloppy goals, awful goals to concede that are totally preventable and either lose the game or draw. And obviously in your case, you ended up winning with a centre-back, like you say, lobbing us from the halfway line. But again, that's just the trademark of our season, unfortunately. As good Ryan Alsop is at distribution, what he offers us in terms of actually stopping the ball from going inside the goal, not so much. So yeah, there's been a lot of clamouring for the keeper we signed in January to come in, because like in that game, it was Alsop's poor decision-making, poor positioning that's lost us the game. But it was a decent game. I don't think that we've come out of it and gone, that was a game. I think you were doing reasonably well at the time. I don't think it was we didn't all come away from that game going, oh, do you know what? We should have absolutely pagged them because they're awful.
Yep.
But you gave us a good game. You did create some chances. And just like I said, which has been a pattern of our season, other teams take their chances against us and we don't take the chances we have. And we end up on the wrong end of a defeat. So yeah, it was a frustrating result. And one of many that have come back to bite us in the proverbial backside in this chase for the top six.
What was that word you used there? Pagged. Pagged them.
Pagged. Absolutely, yeah. Pagged. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've not heard that one before.
This must be a Hull word, because I don't know.
Yeah, a northern word, I would imagine, yeah.
And it basically means give a right battering to, I presume.
Yeah, Tonkin. What about that one? Is that one more familiar?
Ah, yeah, no. Yeah. We do an occasional.
I was going to say mauling, but the connotations are usually more embarrassing, so I kept it at paggering.
All right, Haggard, that'll do.
At my age, I just presumed he meant haggard because I hear that every five words.
You get that a lot, don't you? You hear that a lot.
So, dear. A fair amount. Let's just call it that.
Oh, come back, Peter. Here he is. Oh, he's gone. Here. He's back.
I was so haggard, my computer went, fuck it, I'm giving up. Never mind, I'm back. Never mind, let's carry on then. Right, where were we? I was haggard. Do I get it a lot? Yeah. Yes, I do. Anyway, you mentioned there the race for the top six. Question, sir.
Mm.
Is it all over or are you still in with a umptious chance?
We're mathematically, we're still in with the chance, but I think even the most optimistic of us know that it'll take some doing to get into the top six now. We'd probably have to win all four of our remaining games now and hope that Norwich drop a couple of results, and going on recent form, that's not likely. But like you said, until it's mathematically impossible, you've just got to hope that that freak run happens and we can get in there. But at the end of the day, we've only got ourselves to blame. We've been fantastic away from home, but at home, it's really, really poor results have cost us. And we had a run, I think, recently until we've just beaten, obviously, QPR. But before that, we'd not won in eight games. And it's, you know, I think the injury to Liam Delap in January, as good as a January transfer window we had, you know, what Liam Delap brings us as a team, we just didn't replace that. And we've really missed not having him in the side. We didn't have another number nine that could drop down the side and take the ball up the pitch single-handedly like he used to do. And his frightening pace that he ran at defenders created spaces for the likes of Philogene and that to flourish. So, yeah, we've definitely missed not having him. But I think we've got too much to do. If we beat you guys and Norwich drop points, I think people start to believe again. But it's the hope that kills you. Realistically, we had a run of games at home where we played Swansea, Birmingham and Stoke. That should have been 9 points that we were targeting. We've come away with one. So that's the reality of this league, and that's what we've got to look back on and point the finger at as to why we haven't got into the top six, because we just haven't beaten the sides at home. We haven't been ruthless enough, and we haven't resorted to a plan B that works against sides that have a low block.
Yeah, now that's the question, because obviously young Mr. Rossignol, not Leroy, but Liam, Liam Rossignol, very, very well considered young coach. But I think a few dissenting voices have been that, one, does he over rely on, as you say, plan A and plan B look remarkably similar because they pretty much are. And is there enough freedom in the players? Because we're going to go through some of the players you've got. You've had some really exciting attacking talent at the club this season. How is everybody looking at him at the moment, Mr. Rossignol? Has he got enough out of them, do we think? Or what are the thoughts?
I think that there are some, obviously, voices of discussion. I've been one of them where I haven't at some point come out and said that I didn't want Rossignol to be here anymore. Absolutely not. But I do think that there has to be an air of accountability on his part, a bit of naivety perhaps in the season, because this is his first full season as a manager. It's easy to forget.
Yeah.
He's new to this, and this is a chasing the top six of the playoffs is tough for experienced managers, never mind a brand new manager coming into the league. But in saying that, like you say, you look at the talent we've signed in January. Would many other managers in this league probably get that side into the top six? I think there's a lot in this league that would. Perhaps we're being a bit harsh at times because, like I say, the injury to Delap, I mean, the striker curse we've had for the last 2 years has just been crazy with injuries and things. Like, Delap was absolutely on fire and he got injured in January, pretty much what we thought was going to be for the rest of the season. He's only just made his first appearance back from that injury off the bench against QPR, so that's how long he's been out. Aaron Connolly is made of glass. He plays for two games and he gets injured for about 3 or 4 weeks again. And then when he looked like he was getting consistent game time again, he got absolutely cleared out by Angus Gunn. And then he had to stay out for concussion protocol, and then he's not really been match fit since. We signed a young Noah Ohio on loan from, I think it was the Belgian league.
He's
meant to be a bright prospect, but you cannot pin your hopes on a 19-year-old who's never played in this division. Like, it's not going to happen. He's got to learn the style, and we've not got enough time to give him that. And then a 39-year-old Billy Sharp, that unfortunately has the mobility of the Titanic. So we haven't got the options up front. I do think that the dream front four was obviously to have Philogene, Abdeschomer, Cavalier and Delap as the front four, and we've just never been able to see that. And it's hard to get that cutting edge, that bit of ruthless nature to kill teams off when you do not have a natural striker on the pitch. We are doing the exact same as what we did last season and play with like false nines. So you've got to hope that you've got goal-scoring midfielders that have got enough in them. To be fair, Cavalier has scored 8 since January when he's come in. So he has done his part. But then Philogene's injury, he didn't really come back the same player. So he's not carried on his form. Zorori has been a disappointing signing. And then nobody else has been really popping up with goals. So we've struggled in that sense. But over the course of the season, look, we're playing the nicest football I think we've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what you can give Brazilia. The football we play is absolutely fantastic. There are at times, maybe especially at home when we're playing sides such as Stoke and Birmingham, that are going to sit two banks of four behind, make it really difficult, suffocate the space. And he has to then try and learn a new way of beating those teams. Because if we play against a side that wants to come at us, we're brilliant. That's why we've been so much better away from home. Because the impetus on the home side to attack, we love that. We exploit the space, we go up the other end and we score. Home games against decent teams, Southampton's, Leicester's, the Ipswich coming up, we're probably going to play really well against them because they're going to come out as an attackers. We love that. But it, like you say, he just needs to learn that plan B, I think, and that's going to come with time. But I would be confident in saying that 98, 99% of the fan base is still fully behind him, and let's see what happens next season.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating. I think we've had a lot of that problem as well. We haven't won a home game since November. But fortunately, Alan Lathwell, who wasn't at that game, has announced that he's not going to be there for Saturday. So that's a guaranteed 3 points by all accounts, according to Alan, at least. Fingers crossed, we shall see.
Well, we do like ending teams' bad runs of form. So, yeah, that's also another good omen for you.
Hey, you're in the right place. Well done. Sit down, take a seat, enjoy the view. Welcome to Watford. You mentioned some of the players there, and I appreciate you're looking now towards the end of the season. You've got to go for it because you're so close. You can't ideally let up. Obviously, if you do choose to let up, Saturday would be a great time to start. However, as a question, you've got Liam Delap and those players that you just mentioned, Jadon Philogene, and you've also got the young lad, what's his face? Carvalho, who are all loan players and forging that, that your spearhead today. What are the thoughts around next season, or have there simply been none because you're just chasing that top six and trying to get in?
It's an interesting question. I think we've asked this question on our podcast. There's a lot of noise that comes with our club when it comes around the transfer window. We've got a chairman who loves the spotlight. He's very vocal. He's got a lot of connections, and he's obviously utilized them to bring in these fantastic players to our club that we'd never expect to sign in a million years. Somebody like Fabio Carvalho should never be gracing a Hull City shirt at this level. Let's be honest, he should be a Premier League player. But we've got that low. And I think a lot of players want to play for Rosinia too, I think, because of the way he speaks and the way he will explain to a player how he's going to fit into the system and valuing hard work and bringing the best out of players. Players do want to play for us. So I'm not worried in the sense that these loan players will probably go back. We'd bring in players, I think, of similar level, if not the same ones. I do think that we'll go back in for Delap in the summer, whether that's a permanent or a loan. I'd be tempted to go back in for Tyler Morton. He's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Ryan Giles has been a good signing. His buyout is £4 million, and I don't think I've seen enough from him to justify paying that amount of money, especially when he's not the best defensively. And we've got a fairly decent left-back in Matty Jacob that I would be more than happy to see as our first-choice left-back next season. Fabio Carvalho, I think it's a pipe dream. If he ever came back here next season in any capacity, he went on loan to, I think it was Red Bull Leipzig, and he didn't really get any game time. And he did an interview saying that obviously he was starting to, he wasn't very happy. He was falling out of love with the game kind of thing. And Rosini's brought him in, rejuvenated him, and he's back on form. And that'll get, obviously, Liverpool's new manager might fancy him in the first squad, or another top clubs in Europe and the Premier League are probably looking at him going, yeah, we'll probably go in for him. So I don't think we'll go in for Carvalho. I don't think he's far too good for this level. But realistically, there's been a lot of focus, obviously, in and around the finances. Last season was, obviously, the accounts that was released this season is from last year. And it was very, obviously, quite an impactful reading last season. But it was a total rebuild from the previous regime. We signed a lot of players on big wages. This season's completely different because he's brought in a lot in terms of club record sponsorships. We got a lot of money for loan fees. We've sent a small army out on loan, to be fair. So that's covered like a lot of the wages. And I don't think we're paying anywhere near full for the Premier League wages on the players we've got on loan, things like that. And we've got that little trump card in the bank that we'll probably get a lot of money for Jadon Philogene and Jacob Greaves if needs be. So you're looking at easily 50 million, I would say, minimum for those two combined, which would probably leave us in some decent stead to bring in some players in summer. But it will be interesting because he's coming out in the press and saying obviously he wants to keep these players, and he'll reject any bid that comes his way unless they came out and said they wanted to go. He'll absolutely reject anything. So I don't know what the plan is there. Obviously, it would depend on who we let go. I can see a lot of high earners being released because of the coming to the end of the contracts, players like Adama Traore and things like that. But no, yeah, it would be a very interesting summer, definitely. And if we're any sort of ambition to go for the top six again, then realistically, you need to be holding on to some of these best players and bringing in similar kind of players on loan again.
A fascinating insight into the confidence about having a bright young manager who is playing some good, attractive football. I know, obviously, I launched in at the start with the 48-yard tap-in, but you played some fantastic football that day. You are a really good team to watch. And no disrespect to Hull, but it probably wasn't one I would be necessarily be making sure I turned onto. At the start of the season, I think I caught you about three or four times, and you were fantastic, playing fantastic football, which was great. But Justin Cole, just for a moment, what do you think about our chances of attracting better loan prospects, similar to exactly what Ange just said there about Liam Rossignol, whereby actually Premier League teams might want to actually have their more attacking, more their better up and coming talent, perhaps not Jamal Lewis. Just saying, just as one.
I think it's a market that we haven't done enough in over the last couple of seasons. We were traditionally always, we were called loanford for a long period of time. So in terms of bringing loans in, that was our bread and butter. But I guess, I think from a Premier League club's point of view, that the sort of unstable nature of Watford may put teams off in terms of having a manager that's going to be there for a season. I think that's big, because if you've got a manager that's you're doing deals for players to say you're going to play X amount of games, and 3 months down the line we've got a different coach in, it kind of unsettles the apple cart a little bit. So stability is a big thing for Watford, and until we have that, it's very hard to see that a lot of teams are going to trust us with their players. For me,
Three months. I appreciate you really.
Oh, yeah,
you
I know.
Really meant weeks, yeah, clearly. Yeah, or yeah, games. Yeah. Games. Yeah. Games.
I'm overcooking that one. Yeah, three games.
That's Justin, right. What do you think? Could Tom Cleverley make it more attractive for some slightly less shit loanees?
Depends what Mogi decides, doesn't it, really? That's probably where that all lies. I think, having seen what's been going on with the players and stuff over the last couple of days, and we're not quite sure if one's had a contract extension and it's all been kept quiet and the club are giving no comment and all the rest of it. And then we've seen all the agents' fees and stuff. I don't think we're even at that anymore, looking at the Premier League for loans. I think we're just, I don't know. I doubt it, is what I would say. I don't suppose we're going to loan anybody from the back. And if we do, it'll be Jamal Lewis once again, and he's been shite.
Somebody from the Chilean third division.
That's very probable. That's very probable.
Hi, my name's Rocket, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. What a belter.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, look, there we go. It's been an exciting season for the Tigers, for Hull City, and I think that's reasonable. But obviously, another exciting season so far has undoubtedly been, it must have been, surely it has been,
DNSYE, Completely Rubbish Prediction League.
No! God, please, no! No!
I was hoping...
Shut up, get down. Sorry, carry on.
I was hoping that during my sick period that this had stopped, but... You don't know the disappointment I feel.
No, well, let's...
Listen, mate, we're calling you up when you're in a hospital bed, all drowsy, going, Carl, we must have your prediction. Where's your prediction? And you did said one, to be fair. So if you think it's going to stop now, you've got no chance, mate. We're phoning you up when you're a day out of a coma.
This is very true. We've had a series of draws until Southampton managed to cheat their way to a win the other day. Not bitter, not me, not one bit. But here is the league table as it stood. Prior to these draws, Carlos was giving it a good battering, and I'm talking about the league here. This was since then.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Look at 1-1.
One prediction sits atop of the league on 37 points, but of course didn't get any points against Southampton because it wasn't a draw, because cheating. Oh, well, shut up. Anyway, JP
Backgammon. Hang on. There's a mistake there.
Why is that?
How can JP Backgammon have 35 points? I have 36 points and be below.
That's such a good question. Here are the points, because Carlos should be on 36 points. However, earlier this season.
Am I getting stitched here?
This season, the dog failed to provide a fixture, kind of, and it was against Millwall, and he hadn't got it in by that point. Jarvis had, I think, he'd gone out on the lash with Ernie the Labrador or something like that. And the decision was that if, when he sent it in, it was the same result as another contestant, he would be docked a point. However, we threw this to the opposition, and that was Millwall. And he turned around and said, I don't like dogs, so yes, bin him, right? That's fine. But we're going to turn to Ant here now and say, Ant, Carl currently sits in third place on 36 points, or second really, but I think we know what's happening here. He put in a draw and therefore got 2 points, but he put in the same result as Justin, and because he hadn't phoned it in. I think Justin will agree, we would come to you, the judge, and recommend sentencing of 1 point docked. It's down to you. 1 point, even more, or do you want to let him off?
Hang on, Ant. Before you answer, Ant.
No, we're throwing Ant under the bus. Let it happen.
No. Before you answer, I've had a terrible couple of weeks. I've not been well. I've come out of a coma. Don't do this
to me,
Ant.
Hang on. This is like summing up in a court case or something. I don't remember the judge saying you had a chance to do this, Carlos. So I
had an opportunity to speak to Ant personally. But then you two pressuring him into a decision he doesn't want to make.
And the precedent has been set that he should be docked a point.
If you hadn't just tried to play the pity card on me, Carlos, I think I'd have let you off. But because you've tried to edge your way in there first, I'm gonna have to go with the deduction of a point. So
I like that. What do you think of that? Yeah, dog approves. That's good. That's excellent news. I like that very much indeed. So Carl is indeed in third point. Now with 35 points, shame, we have to go down 6 points to Justin, who got 2 points last week, as did the EFL. So 29 and 27 points respectively. The EFL not performing as well as they did last season. However, let's be frank. Last season, and indeed this season, Ant has been one of the point getters for the EFL. So Justin, watch out, he may be coming. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel is on 25 points, only 2 points off the EFL, and Artificial Stupidity is, as ever, having a fucking nightmare. So don't worry about that. He's on 21 points because that's me hitting a random button, and it's about as good as you would imagine. So we turn to today's videos for an audio podcast, which is something I think we like to do whenever we can.
Yeah, very good.
So the question is if Carlos couldn't be there and provide a figure last time, it is absolutely acceptable that he provide a substitute. He didn't. Jarvis may not be available, but today he has a substitute. Let's see what he has.
Unfortunately, Jarvis can't be with us this week because he's gone to the dog groomers, but we do have a very capable substitute. And here he is, a can of Heinz cream of tomato soup.
For those people who thought this wouldn't get any fucking stranger.
Can of soup. Prediction for Watford, please.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
What the fuck am I watching? What the fuck am I watching? Okay.
Is Watford 4? Now, can I have your prediction for Hull City, please? Can of soup.
God, I feel like I'm on drugs watching this.
This is bizarre. Carl, you're still in your coma. This is a fever dream.
Tell you what, it's slower than the dog, isn't it?
Wait for it.
Well, when you pull a piece of string on a can... Oh, it's...
It's fallen over.
It's fallen over.
Watford 4, Hull City 1.
I don't know who this is. There's a redhead here from Hull. She must be well known.
Yeah, Yvette Fielding from the Ghost programme, isn't it? The one with Derek Corland.
So basically, we've got a poltergeist.
Yep, he's soup. Basically, a can of soup and a poltergeist. That's all we need. That's excellent stuff. Let's just stick that in the old pipe and smoke it. Let's put that into the spreadsheet, which is very important.
By the way, Ant, this is why we go to Liverpool for award ceremonies and come away empty.
I was literally about to say, to me, this is award-winning material, and I might not even enter as next year. What's the point?
Well, the other, obviously, as we know, filmmaker par excellence, Mr. John Parslow. And let's face it, last time, if you recall, he wasn't very complimentary about Hull. In fact, let's face it, he took against it. Today, I think he's trying to ask the question and offer balance. Who knows? Let's see what John thinks.
Predictions League, and it's Watford versus Hull. And last time out, we explored why Philip Larkin saw Hull as hell on earth. To counter this, Watford fans tell me they're on their last visit. It felt like heaven. So we have a question for everyone. Is Hull heaven or is it hell? Well, you decide. Well, the dice are on the pitch and it's Watford to go first. What can we do? Oh, and it's 4 minus 4 is 0. Hull to go next. Playing in orange, that makes it hell for me. Surely, just for that. Oh, and it's 1 minus 1. So it's, and that's 0 as well. So it's Watford 0, Hull 0. Heaven and hell, it's equally split. Come on, you horns.
Well, there we go. There we go.
What? Ronnie James. Can we reach out to this guy and ask what Hull ever did to him? Well, because I feel like it's quite personal.
He has actually sent over notes for Hull opposition view. He said, case for heaven is clear. Miracle of the hoop goal and his Jesus impression. He was standing in a Jesus-like fashion. Case for hell, Philip Larkin. John seems to be very, very heavily influenced by Philip Larkin. But there we go. He also says, from Hell, Hull and Halifax, which is the T-shirt that he has, as ever, John has two frames. Neither of them make any sense. That's fine. May the good Lord deliver us. These words form part of the thieves' litany uttered in medieval Yorkshire as a leave-taking prayer between two thieves as they parted. Okay. Wow. Okay.
So yet more reasons why we don't win awards here, I feel.
Well,
I have to say his choice of music there, the Ronnie James Dio era Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell. Fantastic choice there. He's got some good music, John. He always comes up with a decent tune, I think. But yeah, no, 0-0. And there's a good chance of that, by the way, I would say.
There is. That would be the most typical result, just to say.
Well, yeah. Well, random nonsense, artificial stupidity, has predicted Watford 3, Hull City 2. So we've got a couple of game 4-1 and 3-2, some goals to look forward to, or indeed a 0-0. But anyway, we turn now in the correct order to our guest, Ant. And we ask Ant, what do you think the score is going to be when Hull visit Watford for the game on Saturday?
So I can't say ones that have already been said.
You can't have 1-1. You can't have 0-0, 4-1, or 3-2.
We don't have to explain it to Ant. He knows.
You know the drill, Ant. You know. You know this.
Yeah. So I feel like this is 100% a 1-1 game, but because I can't say that, I'm going to have to go with the fact that we're actually fairly decent away and we absolutely have to win to have something to play for this season. I'm going to go for Hull City 2, Watford 1.
There we go. We still go, first of all, to Justin, because despite not being on the top of the table and being docked points earlier, still ahead of Justin there. So Justin, you can't go for 2-1 to Hull. You can't go 1-1. You can't go 0-0. You can't go 4-1 or 3-2 to Watford. What do you think you're going to go for?
Well,
you chasing Carl, by the way, is a little bit like Hull chasing Norwich. It's still possible, if unlikely.
It is.
It's just unlikely.
It's mathematically possible, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. The obvious one would be 0-0, right? But that's been taken.
That's gone.
So let's go. We haven't had a home win since November, have we? Are we going to have one before the season finishes? We've got two more home games.
Don't forget, Alan Lathwell's not going. That may have no effect whatsoever.
Alan Lathwell's not very true. So that being the case, let's go for a 1-0 Watford.
God, that's crazy talk. Wow, 1-0 Watford.
I know, but I can't go 0-0. I can't go 1-1. So you just get what's left, don't you?
Get back in your draw. What can I say? Carlos, you're only 2 points off the top. Decent run, and you're in there still. If we keep drawing, obviously 1-1's going to be hard to catch. Yeah, but what are you going to go for?
The risk I have of this is obviously I fly out on the 23rd, so I'm going to have to give my predictions via a message. So because you've thieving bastards are nicking my points, that might cost me towards the end. But I'm tempted with a draw, and I would have said 1-1 if
you're going to have to go Desmond then, I reckon.
It's a Desmond 2-2.
It's a Desmond, everybody. I love a Desmond. Oh, this is very good. I like that very much. Right, let's not put that there. Let's put that in the right place. Excellent. There we go. So the spreadsheet shows that the EFL with Ant from Hull City has gone Watford 1, Hull City 2. The homeless run continues, or the winless run continues at home. 1-0 to Watford goes Justin, because he's a proud and confident horn. Yeah, no, because 0-0 wasn't available. 1-1 goes 1-1, as 1-1 does. Carlos has gone for a Desmond. 0-0, says John's backgammon, which, if you remember, when he actually got 3 points because the Americans came over, rolled the dice and predicted 0-0. There's a bit of previous there, so we got 3 points there. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel has not gone 4-1. However, a can of Heinz cream of tomato soup has, What? Don't ask us. We just work here. And Random Nonsense has gone 3-2.
Watford win 4-1 now, I feel like...
Yeah. Oh,
that's next season sorted.
Yeah.
When you're talking about pundits who should be on Sky and all of this, we could just sack them all off and just get different canned flavours of soup and canned foods to do the job.
I think various condiments. I think various Heinz products, and we can see if we can... If we can go after some form of sponsorship where Justin has to say it quickly at the end to get the things through, because he does.
Yeah, really enjoying the McDonald's adverts at the moment, Justin. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you very much.
I like the fact that you get shit about that in the spaces. That's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Anyway, as we know, points will be allocated.
Marvellous. Well, there we go. Are you coming down, Ant, or are you not?
I'm not this weekend. You know what? I've never actually been to Vicarage Road, and I really need to get myself down. So I think the chances are that it's going to have to be next season that I come down. Well, I've got the kids this weekend. So
stay down for the weekend. I run a small entertainment facility where lots of Americans come down.
Yep.
So you're more than welcome. You're a friend of the podcast.
Trolleyed is the answer.
Yes. It's called Cole's Cirrhosis Service, and everyone's welcome. Yeah.
Well, it works very, very well. It's excellent. But one thing that we haven't spoken about yet is a new feature where we come and ask you about your ex-managers, and all we need is a one-word review and a mark out of 10 for each one. Now, we're going to randomly draw where we might start, and surprisingly, we go for previous Watford manager to start, and he was there between June 2010 and November 2011. Nigel Pearson, give us a one-word review and a mark out of 10 for Nigel Pearson.
Boring, 4 out of 10.
Boring, 4 out of 10. This is an exciting start. Nicky Barmby, of course, Hull born and bred, literally, came back and played there, but how was he as a manager?
Decent, 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. And your one-word review for Nicky Barmby?
Decent. He said decent.
Oh, decent. Decent was it? Oh, I see. That's you're using words, and I'm just not programmed for that. Now
I'm listening. Now, don't worry.
Now I want anybody.
I'm sorry for taking a point off you.
Anybody listening? Okay. Anybody listening? If you are standing up or operating heavy machinery, please stop immediately and sit down, because we're going to ask for the score and the one-word review of Mr. Steve Bruce, and it may be favourable. Steve Bruce, what do we say, Ant?
Brilliant. 8 out of 10.
There you go. Reality has just paused for everybody, because of course everybody looks at Steve Bruce. Everybody looks at Steve
we
Bruce.
We are one of the very few, I think, that would describe him in that way. But realistically, it took us to the Premier League twice, probably assembled our best ever side that we've seen, an FA Cup final, a brief stint in Europe. There's not much negative we can say about him, to be fair, other than perhaps the team that got relegated the second time shouldn't have done. But other than that, brilliant. Yeah, took us to heights we never thought we'd be.
Steve Bruce. Brilliant, everybody. And you thought the strangeness was going to stop at the Heinz soup. Never mind.
Makes me uncomfortable.
Any Newcastle fans listening to this have just been sick.
Oh, I know. It's fair enough. That's quite right. We like that. Mike Phelan, somebody who's been mentioned in dispatches recently as we've been talking about mentors for Tom Cleverley previously, obviously at United. But how did he do when in charge?
Disaster. 2 out of 10.
I love this so much.
He's definitely coming to us then, isn't he? Definitely.
To be fair, he was thrown under the bus. We started the season with 12 fit senior players, and in the Premier League, that's just like an acceptance of death, really. But we started well, and then it just never got any better. We were awful. Then obviously Marco Silva came in and it got a little bit better, but still went down.
You see, he's stolen our thunder here. Former Watford for about half an hour manager, like many of them. Marco Silva, mark out of 10. One-word review.
Good. 6 out of 10. I wanted to be a bit nicer, but he threw us under the bus towards the end of the season because you guys tapped him up, I think.
He does that.
Don't worry. What went round actually came around in that particular instance. That's fine. Now, I think we all love this name. Leonid Slutsky, which is a fantastic name in any way.
That's a porn star name.
It does sound like somebody from Russia who really puts out on every occasion. What do we make of... Of Mr. Slutsky. Trust me, I don't think this man would be making much money in the porn industry. Very, very niche. And what do you think?
Hero, 7 out of 10. We were nearly relegated with him, but the football was so entertaining and I loved the guy. He was so good. Every game was like 4-3. It was brilliant. We was usually on the losing end of a 4-3, but it was great. It was really great. And he loved Hull Fair. So he gets bonus points for that.
That's a round of applause for that. We normally get it when we go to interim managers who've got like 100% loss ratio and people go, no, he's a legend, I need to stay with him. But basically, to bring out the Russian with the greatest name ever and basically winning four games in 21 and you going, yeah, it was mental. We'll have that. I like that very much.
We loved him.
Serial championship manager and now gone down to league kind of one and two, really. Nigel Adkins, how did he do when at the Tigers?
5 out of 10.
Nice. I love the way... Who was it got four? Oh, it was Nigel Pearson was boring. The difference between boring and steady is 1 point, everybody. This is good. I don't know what we're going to do with all of this data.
Adkins wasn't fairly brilliant football to watch. He was just consistently okay, considering we had a side that had Abel Hernandez, Fraser Campbell, what's he called? The Welsh lad that was at Liverpool. He's now at Fulham, I think. Or he, someone. We had him on loan as well, and he was really good. And we just didn't seem to score enough goals, and he just always had the shackles on him. He's a nice guy, but he's a bit like Southgate, I think.
Okay.
So it reminds me of.
This is good.
Dry lunch.
The next manager is...
Dry lunch. I love that expression. He's a dry lunch. That's such a great expression. What film's that from? Is it Football Factory or something? I'm trying to remember which film that's from.
Yeah. Millwall, that says it, doesn't
he? Right. The next manager is, I think, I mean, he's a shoo-in. If ever there is a fat lookalike kind of tribute band to Westlife, Grant McCann is surely going to be one of the blonde blokes up there. How was Grant McCann before? He always ends up at Peterborough. Every time I look up, Grant McCann's at Peterborough. I don't know if he is in the moment, but how did he do for you?
Creditable. 6 out of 10.
Oh, these are fine words we're having here, and you're adhering to the one word rule better than anybody else so far.
I have a lot of personal. I really didn't like McCann, but the realistic nature, the facts are, he got us our first title. It was League One in 50 odd years, but I will also never forgive him for the capitulation of the season before, in which we were level on points with 6th place on the 1st of January and finished in 24th place after getting 6 points from 60 available, including an 8-0 loss at Wigan. I just never, ever got over that, unfortunately.
Quite obviously.
That makes the 8-0
If it wasn't
defeat.
For the league title, he would have been the 1 out of 10. It's just the title, I couldn't say too bad, because City fans would kill me if they're listening to this.
I've got to say, 8-0 at Wigan, that does make the 8-0 at Man City, yeah, still smart.
We were 7-0 down at half time.
Oh, God. That's a bad thing.
I paid £10 to stream that on iFollow. It was during the COVID epidemic when fans went in the stadium.
That is literally
insult to injury. I watched the entire game just for the pure fact that I paid a tenner, and I was like, well, I might as well.
It's torture.
It's horrible. Wow. I emailed the club asking for my tenner back.
Well, after Ant had recovered from the loss of his £10 and Grant McCann had stopped getting up off of his stool during key changes, Shota Arval Georgian, he is the guy who was keen on taking Georgi Chakvetadze away to, I think he's coaching in Turkey these days, but how was Shota Arvaladze, Georgian legend he is in football, how is he in home?
Disappointing, 3 out of 10.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. That's worse than dull. We all know. Yeah. Now we come to Andy Dawson, now caretaker manager, but he had 8 games. He won 3. He lost 5, but it's still a 37.5% win kind of percentage. What do we think of Andy Dawson's tenure?
Respectful.
You're playing the game like it's supposed to. This never happens.
I'm actually enjoying this.
It's difficult. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to think of different words. I'm trying not to repeat the same words, and it is quite difficult. I'm having to delve into my vocabulary. It's difficult.
Who was it? Was it Ollie from Preston who went, I've run out of words? Like, we've only asked you for 10. Other words are available. And, of course, we come now to your current manager, Liam Rossignol. We're going to give you a few more words if you like, but give us a mark out of 10 so far and tell us, what does he need to do next season to take you to the next stage if you don't make the playoffs?
I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10, and that's purely based on the fact that we are seeing, like I said earlier, some of the nicest football we've ever played as a club. But like I also said earlier, there is a naivety about our game at the minute, about the way he approaches some teams, changing selections. Sometimes his substitutions are quite poor as well. But all things considered, it is a learning curve for him as well as it is us as fans. We've got to be patient with him. He's got to learn the game, learn about his team, learn about being a manager in pressurized situations and facing what is probably one of the most difficult leagues in the world in the Championship and trying to get a consistent run together. But next season, what I'd like to see is a bit more variation in our play at times. By all means, focus on the play out from the back, have that as our primary source of play. Absolutely, everyone loves it. But sometimes we just need to mix it up against teams to get results, because more often than not, you're going to just have to win ugly. You're going to have to find a different way of winning. Just to, even when you're playing badly, you've got to grind out results. Sometimes you can't always be a perfect performance. There has to be a bit of an ugly side to it as well. So I would just say to him, be a bit more ugly, a bit more streetwise.
Very nice, very nice. This is, of course, 1 in 10. The only popularity poll where Steve Bruce might actually win.
Marvellous, marvellous. Well, I think it's probably time to let you go, and I have a sneaky feeling we might be doing this again next season, unless you do get that sort of miracle run of results and head into the playoffs and then do well in the playoffs. Who knows? Who knows? It's football. That might happen. But if it doesn't, then it'd be lovely to speak to you again next season. So let's hope that is the case. Thank you very much for coming on Do Not Scratch Your Eyes once again. As always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Look, I love it. This is the only saving grace of us staying down, I think. It's coming on.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Halloween. And like us, you weren't expecting to see a can of soup predicting a score this evening. That was a complete mystery.
Exactly.
To me,
that. Look, something new every time. I love it. It broadens my understanding of life.
Of reality. Yeah, maybe. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.